Recorded live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, coming to you in true Robinson Crusoe fashion. That's right. Thanks to the fact that Bright House is absolutely terrible in the Central Florida area, we do not have our normal setup, but that will not stop us. We will not be stopped. Quick shout out to Montel Hardy for helping us bring you football talk just the way you like it here for the first time on TalkShoe. You can find us on the website playing live in GSCSports.com. Good times all the way around. You got to dig it like a shovel. And, of course, here with me currently in the studio is Chris Rankin. What is it like to start a fire with Flint, Chris?
It's slow. When you're trying to put out fires, it's not a really good thing. But when you light fire, it's a great thing.
I wanted to make the fire joke. It's not fair. No. And, of course, with me somewhere else because, well, I guess he didn't want to hold his phone to his head the whole time. Weasel Wiz!
Yeah, boy!
That's right. Even remotely, he's on cue. That's what I'm talking about. Weasel Man, good to have you aboard, of course. Rather than waste time and talk a lot of schmack, look, people heard about this and all our problems. That's enough of that. It's time to bring you football talk just the way you like it. And we're going to start off with this past Thursday's game where we had the San Diego Chargers versus the Denver Broncos. Big divisional matchup. Weasel, what did we see here?
Well, the Broncos at home, they defeated their division rival, the Chargers, 35-21. So Peyton Manning, he threw for 286 yards and 3 touchdowns. Well, you got Philip Rivers with 252 and 2 interceptions. Now Rivers says he does have 2,213 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5 INTs. Would you say he deserves to be considered for a Pro Bowl spot?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's a Pro Bowl spot. He's in the discussion, in my opinion, at this part for an MVP. And just to let everybody know, the reason why I chuckled is because you paused there for a minute because that's normally where you say the fraud. But apparently the charges have been dropped on Mr. Philip Rivers.
Yep, and a funny thing happened in the game with about 2 minutes remaining. At least I think the score was about the Broncos were up by 14 or so. So the game was kind of out of the hands of the Chargers. But to get the crowd quiet, you wave your hands up and down, and the crowd should kind of go be quiet. And what happened was Manning kept on doing it at the 2 minute warning, and he got frustrated, was openly expressing his rage. So that was something that he said, "Oh, I love the fans," but. Yeah, it's kind of funny seeing him trying to control the crowd. But
pop quiz, guys, who should be more worried? The score operator for the Denver Broncos or that safety on the Texans who Peyton Manning drew the personal foul from in the preseason game? Chris.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's a pop quiz. See, were you studying?
No, I wasn't. I'm still thinking about the fire you had me earlier.
Oh yeah. So who should be more worried? The safety for the Texans who Peyton Manning went up and yelled at and got the personal foul, or the score operator for the Broncos? Who should be more afraid of Peyton Manning's wrath?
I'd say the scorekeeper for the Broncos because he has to deal with them for a few more games this season.
Weasel.
Yeah, I agree because. The thing is, he publicly called out the guy, and so I would say the scorekeeper. But now one more thing. We got Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. The guy had a breakout game, 120 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I'll give you a choice. You got Jets wide receiver Eric Decker. I believe he's currently the number 2. They want him to be the number 1 wide receiver kind of thing. And then you have Emmanuel Sanders. Which of those guys would you want as your number 2 wide receiver?
Well, I mean, that's an awkward question already. We talked about this some with Decker. His quarterback list currently entails Tim Tebow, Geno Smith, and Michael Vick.
What's the problem with that?
Call me greedy.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, there was a Jets football game, if you want to call it that, that did take place at some point later in the show. But then on the other spectrum, he also had Peyton Manning. We never really had an opportunity to have him showcase his skill in a situation where he would be the difference maker. However, I say all that to say this, it's quite noticeable that Geno Smith's a little bit better. I'm not saying good. I'm not saying great. I'm not even saying mediocre. Just a little bit better than crap when Eric Decker's in the game. All that being said, yeah, I got Emmanuel Sanders.
Word.
But you got to remember with Eric Decker, with at least with Tebow, he was the leading receiver for Tebow.
That's a good point.
Until he got injured. So he did stay in that role because no one knew who Demaryius Thomas was either.
So the outcome for this exchange, Geno Smith is Tim Tebow. All right. Weasel, continue.
I'm done with that game.
Oh, sweet. Well, in that game, let's go ahead and fly across the pond. Screw English accents. Look, they played in London again, for God's sake. Detroit and the Falcons, overcoming a 21-zip deficit, the Lions win the day on a kick. Wait, I said Falcons. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you said you're right. No, I just wanted to add in that at least when they played over in London, they had football here at 9:30 in the morning. So.
Yeah, that's true. We had football, and not just football, but football. That's right. I've been waiting all day to make that joke. Can't you tell? Anyways, 22-21, the dramatic ending to this game. And I'm just going to jump right to it, gentlemen. The end of the game in itself, it came down to a field goal where the Lions came a-charging down the field, which I don't know if you guys have heard of theoretic before. I'll be honest, I hadn't. He did an awful lot of stuff in that game all the way around. Didn't run for a lot necessarily, but he did have 8 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Sure, Reggie Bush is out, but apparently he's got another running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Then, so it came to it where the Lions were lining up for the potential game-winning kick at the time. And the Lions kicker lets it loose. And in England, apparently, you can find a rare outing of the shankopotamus as it's pulled away from the uprights. The kick is missed. Game's over. Falcons win. Until Landry on the field for false start. You're right, Weasel. My bad. Yeah, you're right. I missed that. But the dirty laundry on the field was for a false start, a delay of game, more specifically, on the offense. But when you replay it, it looks to me like there's still a second on the clock when he snaps the football. I don't know if you guys saw this. And if you didn't, I don't blame you, because I wasn't up there early on Sunday morning necessarily trying to check. Well, I was, but I was watching the baby, not that game. First world problems, right? But, I don't know, guys. It's a situation, finally, you've heard me ask you guys, you've been like, oh, that was a costly penalty. And I posed the question on this show, is there such a thing as a non-costly penalty? Well, apparently that day has come, and it took a flight to England to find it. The Lions take the re-kick, put it through the uprights, 22-21, your final score.
What was the distance on the field goal they made?
I think it was 35. I don't have that here, but I would love to look it up for you. But Bright House sucks.
You said
I see what you did there, Chris.
What
anyway,
part of the game?
What's that?
What part of the game?
The last kick.
It won the game, Weasel.
Oh no, I got the field goals up for Prater, so.
Yeah, no, I'm just letting you know that it finished the game. And of course, in a nation with pubs on every corner, famous for drinking beer and eating bangers and mash, Matt Prater makes his return to the NFL ranks, kicking a game-winning field goal. Can't help but find a bit of irony in that.
Well, I was just going to say, if it was like a 45-yard field goal that he missed, and with the penalty, go back to 50, that's why he made it, because he's better from 50 than he is from 45.
Oh, right, because of the way he missed an extra point back in the freaking Hawaii Bowl back when he was still playing for UCF. Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up until you did.
You brought it up first. I was thinking that, too.
So anyways, now that we've all portrayed our bitter upon the world, another bitter that's coming out in the press is connected to the next game, and that would be the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Carolina in another nail-biting game. Close game all the way around. Last year it was 12-7. This year, 13-9. The Seahawks crawl by in Carolina. But the main thing I want to address first, guys, is so Percy Harvin's not on the team. We heard about that trade, and we'll talk more about what he did or didn't do for the Jets upcoming. But there's a lot of whispering around Marshawn Lynch still being a quote-unquote distraction of sorts. Apparently, there's still allegedly, reportedly, some bad blood between he and Pete Carroll. Let me ask you guys. First of all, Do you buy that? And second, how much would you think it would affect the team? Chris, we'll start with you.
Well, the only thing that might be bad blood between the two is that they're not giving him the ball this year. They're not carrying him. They have no other running back. He's carried him the last few years. There's the Super Bowl run last year. He's the big difference. Everyone says Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson wouldn't be as good as he is if it wasn't for Marshawn Lynch. It takes the pressure off the quarterback, especially young quarterbacks, when you have a good running back, as what Marshawn Lynch has done in the last 3-4 years up there in Seattle. So, I mean, right now he's not getting the ball. He's only getting the ball 10, 12 times a game. He's still averaging over 3-4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He's still performing, but it seems like they're trying to go away. They're trying to give everything to Russell Wilson, and it kind of hurt him in the Rams game a little bit, but, I mean, it could, if they keep it up, everyone's going to be keying Russell Wilson and not Marshawn Lynch. It's going to come back and hurt him. They're going to make Russell Wilson beat him.
Actually, that's kind of the reason why I think they're going to Russell Wilson. And the reason why I feel like the Seahawks went to Russell Wilson in the Rams game specifically. They know Marshawn Lynch is coming. He's all about that action, boss, right? But if they key on him too much, you get Russell Wilson going 336 yards in the air and 106 on the ground, and the Seahawks lose a special teams trickeration. I mean, there was two crazy special teams touchdowns in that game. It's not like the Eagles that are getting blocked punts. This is just pure circus football. I'm sure Weasel loved that game. But the reason why I say all that is I think what the Seahawks need to have happen to get Lynch involved, at least in their minds, is for people to start keying on Russell Wilson. Because, look, I'm not impressed by Doug Baldwin. I mean, he's all right, but I'm not ready to make him a Pro Bowl receiver. Their tight end situation, I mean, they missed Zach Miller. I mean, Wilson, the tight end, Chris Wilson, he's all right. He's not a world beater. But what I think it needs to come down to for the Seahawks to feel more comfortable using Lynch is that situation to switch. Now, all that being said, we've remarked that part of the reason why they lost to the Cowboys 2 weeks ago is because they didn't run Marshawn Lynch enough. But I digress. And, I mean, hey, that's what makes coaching a tough gig, is to know when to pull what trigger, I guess. But, when it comes to it, if this truly becomes another rift, we've already seen Russell Wilson be tested. And as much as I've come down on the amount of press he's gotten, his performance has certainly been great the past couple of weeks, regardless of whatever the Seahawks record may have been. But I don't know. It's a very interesting question, and it could be argued, as Chris said, the problem could be solved if they just properly utilize their star running back. But then again, when Russell Wilson's playing like he is, how do you keep the ball out of his hands? First world problems, I guess, if you're an offense. But the point I want to make, Kelvin Benjamin schooling both Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas at the same time. That's what I'm talking about. It went silent because that moment got that real. Let's move on to the next.
Actually, I got something here.
What do you got?
Why they do, I think they miss Percy Harvin. But there's another guy that was on the team last year who made some, pretty decent catches. Golden Tate. The guy had with the Lions, and they were out, Megatron. And you have Golden Tate, 7 receptions, 151 yards, 1 touchdown. It's like he's the guy you don't hear about much.
Bouncing back from a 21-0 lead. That's a good point, Weasel. I left it out because I just didn't want to talk about that freaking game all that long.
I'll say is that the Seahawks, they are missing Golden Tate.
I agree. That's a fantastic point in itself. I mean, before I would just make fun of him because he's a dude with a goofy name. But I'll tell you, it's amazing what he's doing in Calvin Johnson's absence. I mean, I guess that makes him star screamer. I don't know. No one feeling the star screamer joke?
No.
Oh, you guys suck.
No.
Wow. Well, you like sound wave, huh? Okay, let's go ahead and jump down to the next game. Is Chris going to hate all over my Transformers analogy? Now he's going to tell us about this joyful gem of a football game. Bears, Pats, Chris.
Yeah, the Patriots went bear hunting as Tom Brady threw 5 touchdowns, three of them to Gronk on their way to a 51-23 victory over the Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler was 20 for 30 for 227 yards. Not bad, 67%.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. One interception and one fumble. That fumble was returned 15 yards for a touchdown right before the half, less than 2 minutes left.
Was that number 35 for points or number 28?
I was actually number 38 for points. It was 38.5.
Excuse me.
Tom Brady was 30 for 35, 86%, for 354 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had the same amount of touchdowns that he had incompletions.
That's ridiculous.
No interceptions on the game. I mean, he did pretty well.
On a serious note, real quick, we announced the score. We talked about what happened with the quarterbacks. I have to handle something really important. Weasel, are you okay? I have to ask because I know when your wife found out about this game, she probably wasn't very happy.
Ooh, well, thankfully, we were not watching it together. And we were actually attending the Vikings Bucks game.
Boom,
so,
because of football.
It was kind of funny that at the stadium, the Tampa Stadium, they had this section, this scoreboard. All it showed was scores. It updates it like right then and there. And it started off 7-0, started 10-0, and then I think there's a field goal. And then she was getting like madder and madder each time she saw that. So. Yeah.
And keep in mind for the audience out there, she's already having to endure wearing Vikings colors to support her man's team. So
yeah.
She's already in a bad place.
That was I was surprised she did that. I was thinking you wear Vikings colors. When I went to a Bears game, I wore Bear colors, but I'm not going to wear a Bears hat or anything. She totally went with the purple and gold shirt with a Vikings hat. So that was a little surprise there, too.
You know what we call that, Weasel? Love.
Right.
Moving on.
Okay. So with the score 51-23, it could have been a lot worse as the Pats went only 4-for-7 in the red zone. Two of those field goals that were in the red zone was when backup Jimmy Garoppolo was in the game in the fourth quarter. Okay, but the Bears did utilize Matt Forte, and he had 19 carries for 114 yards. He also had 6 catches for 54 yards with a touchdown. Martellus Bennett had 6 for 95 with a touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey, 5 for 53 with a touchdown for the Bears. And then for the Patriots, like I said, I mentioned before, Gronk had 9 catches for 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. So that was a damn good pickup that I had. Huge trade I had this week. I picked up Gronk and Chris Ivory for Lamar Miller and Jordan Reed.
Now, keep in mind, who were you texting with about that trade? This isn't a trick question.
Oh, yeah, I was texting with you about it. You originally wanted Sammy Watkins for T.Y. Hilton. I was like, I'm not giving up T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that would have been dumb.
Right. So, I mean, they both outscored about the same anyway, T.Y. Hilton and Sammy Watkins, but. I'm like, you know, let me counter offer this, and you know, he went for it, and he's hating that because Gronk got me 40 points.
Great football mind, booyah! And by the way, the proof that Gronk was back isn't the numbers. Fuck the numbers; it doesn't matter. Okay, I don't care about the numbers. When it comes to the numbers, we are talking about 149, 3 touchdowns. That's all great. What I'm talking about is the way he knocked this guy over.
Tipped arm him on the second play. I was gonna bring that up.
It just goes crazy. Was
yeah, it was on his second touchdown as he stiff-armed the defensive back or whatever.
Stiff-armed? Is it? How do you say that? Is it stiff-armed? Stiff-armed?
Stiff-armed, whatever. It happened yesterday.
No, I'm asking.
Whatever.
You.
I'm not an English major. I have no idea.
I'm going to go with stiff-armed. It sounds easier.
Stiff-armed,
it just seems awkward. I don't know.
The Bears thought they could get on Gronk. They're like, oh, let's put a linebacker on him on his first touchdown. Yeah, that didn't work. But a third touchdown on inside the, you know, when it was whatever down and goal. Like, I was put a corner on him. No, that didn't work either.
Nothing.
Right. So Brandon LaFell had 11 catches for 124 yards with 3 touchdowns. And then tight end Tim Wright, since Gronk had all these catches, like, let's get him involved. He had 7 catches for 61 yards with a touchdown. But nothing went well for the Bears in this game. It's late in the fourth quarter. Defense end Lamar Houston injured himself while celebrating a sack when he sacked the backup quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, when the score was 48-23, he tore his ACL and he got for the season.
On a celebration in pure Bill Gramatica fashion.
Right, and then I'm thinking of this as I'm thinking of the replacement. Don't say something great if you can't handle the celebration as he tore his ACL. Why are you celebrating when you're down 48-23 is what I'm saying.
I mean, it would have been different if he picked up the ball and ran it into the end zone because he's a fat guy. He loves it when a fat guy scores. Then you get a fat guy. If I can, then you get a fat guy. Because the replacement. Don't
right. I know. I'm good. But it's not even on Tom Brady. It's on the back of quarterback because you're already blown out. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I got nothing.
If he would have just done like he's been there before, he's had a sack before, he would have never tore his ACL. He's off of the season.
So congratulations. You have a sack, and that's all.
And it happened a couple weeks ago, too. So to a different guy. I think a Lions guy.
Well, there you go. Don't do something great if you can't handle the congratulations. That's your quote of the day today, folks. Moving on. Speaking of games where you don't have to worry about anyone being able to handle the congratulations, nothing great happened in this game. The Raiders and the Browns, 13-23. The Browns were victorious at home. Now, Derek Carr, he only had a fumble for a turnover. He did go 34 for 54 with 328 yards and a touchdown. Not a bad day overall around. But there's a guy who went out and threw a single pass, which was an interception. Anyone got any guesses who this dude is? Because I know y'all didn't watch this game. Somebody who's very famous for interceptions that is now a Raider and wasn't last year. Former Texan.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
Shot, okay. Yeah, okay.
Correct. Well done,
yeah.
Chris.
I had mentioned it in the game later on, by the way.
Oh, boy, here we go. just mediocre stuff all the way around here for the most part. The most notable thing here is the fact that tight end for the Raiders, Michael Rivera, led receiving 7 catches for 83 yards. That's great, but he actually spells his name M-Y-C-H-A-L. I'm not feeling that. But, hey, I guess it's different. I don't know. But, yeah, look, because turnovers, they had 3, the Browns didn't. You know, you can't turn the damn ball over. It's going to be really easy for me to talk about this with Raider Rome on Wednesday night when we do the NFL West recess. I'm filling in for Darrell Wilson this week because he is going to be welcoming a baby into the world over the weekend if all went well. And so I will be filling in on Wednesday for him. So check that out, by the way, right here in GSCSports.com. It'll be through TalkShoe for the first time there as well. Just all sorts of craziness going on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern, because we'll be fighting against West Coast bias one show at a time, whether D. Will's there or not. Dang it. Anyways, by the way, congratulations one more time to you, D. Will. We are very happy for you all the way around. Anyway, next game on the docket, you know, this is one I'm just sad about. Because I believe in the study hall last week, I put my faith in them to win, and they did not. Not only did they not win, if there was any more abuse here, they would probably be suspended from the NFL. It's ridiculous. 34-7, the final count. The Rams fall to the Kansas City Chiefs. Jake Long, their left tackle, he's out. He got hurt and left the game in the third quarter. Probably had to do with the length of the lead between that and the running game just going absolutely crazy for Kansas City. I mean, when you put it in perspective here, Jamal Charles, 13 carries, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then Nile Davis, 16 carries, 49 yards with a touchdown of his own, versus Trey Mason, who may have had a good week against the Seahawks, 7 carries for 32 yards was he. Not very great so much against the Kansas City Chiefs. Austin Davis did not have a good game, 15 for 25, 160 yards with a touchdown and interception, but I don't think it's his fault, gentlemen. No, I don't. And I'm not blaming it on Jake Long being hurt either. I'm blaming it on a curse placed upon him by a once seemingly non-existent force in the NFL, if he's no more. Brett Favre evoked his name saying, well, Austin Davis, he could be the next Tom Brady. Yeah, thanks for jinxing me, Brett. I hope at the very least you give Austin Davis a Christmas card.
I don't know why you didn't just say he was the next Brett Favre, because he went to Southern Miss also, Austin Davis.
Dang. Well, he doesn't throw enough interceptions for that. Oh! because Brett Favre. So, normally this would be about the part where we would go into a break, but I'm just going to take a moment to talk about how much Brett House sucks.
There goes that sponsor.
This is just in. Bright House is sponsoring the toilet bowl.
Oh, wow. Anyways, I'd like to think my toilet bowl is cleaner than that, thanks. I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyhow, next game on the docket, the Texans and the Titans. Now, I get this is a divisional rivalry, but I'll be honest. I was not really expecting a lot from this game. I mean, between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Zach Mettenberger, is that even how you say it?
Mettenberger.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah. Pretty long name. I mean, yeah, it was easier to spell than Roethlisberger. I know that. You know, no hidden E's or anything like that. But, you know, anyway, the Texans won convincingly 30-16, true. But when I look at Mettenberger's numbers, 27-41. First of all, why is this guy throwing the ball 41 times? Oh, that's right. Bishop saying he remains useless in the running game, 9-35 on the day. Super. Thanks for asking. 27-41, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Yes, he lost a fumble. I'm willing to believe that that had more to do with the fact that the tight end offensive line was facing not just J.J. Watt. I'm hot for Watt. That's right. Not just J.J. Watt, but Jadeveon Clowney as well. So it could be argued that one fumble was a good day. Who knows? But as good days go, gentlemen, Arian Foster, the Arian Nation, went completely crazy. 20 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 catches for 22 yards, and a touchdown as well. Fantasy. Boom.
He's back.
I'm not going to go that far. It's only the Titans.
Two weeks in a row.
Who did he play last week? Oh, God. That wasn't necessarily a strong game. Oh, no, wait, that was against the Steelers. Yeah. I guess the Steelers defense, well, actually, the Steelers defense didn't necessarily get better. We'll talk more about that later. But, yeah, so, okay, fine. Is it that he's back, or is it that it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and they're just scared to give him the ball? I don't know. Or maybe they're just scared of that beard. I don't know.
It could be the beard.
Fear the beard. Awesome. So, with that, let's go ahead and let the man talk about his experience that he had in Tampa there as he traveled to watch his Vikings face off against the Buccaneers. Weasel.
Yeah, well, it started off to be a very fairly slow game. The Vikings were led 3-0 at halftime. Scoring picked up, and the Vikings beat the Bucs 19-13 in overtime. I did attend that game, thanks to my wonderful wife, Amanda.
Oh, yeah. I just want to give a verbal hug to Amanda for that shout out. That was brilliant, dude. By the way, why gotta text your wife to find out that you're going to a game?
Well, she surprised me, so that was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's a good reason. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
everybody, right now, take a moment, be jealous of Weasel's wife. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's well done. All right, carry on, Weasel.
We got to see Vikings rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. He had 241 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked once. And watching the game, I noticed that consistently Teddy was stepping up into the pocket, making throws. And since he did get sacked once, and I don't think he did a lot of running. But the thing is that, you know, he's trusting his offensive line. So he had a, you know, pretty good game. And the Vikings did lead the majority. And the Bucs scored a touchdown with only 2:02 remaining. The score was 13-10, so the Vikings got back in the at their own 20. And then Teddy marched them down the field to kick a field goal. And Blair Walsh, he actually made it, and it was like a 48-yarder or so. So going into overtime, it's like, oh, how long is this going to take? Well, you got a kickoff. So you got the kickoff for overtime. The Bucks got the ball first, and first play of the of overtime. You got Anthony Bart, linebacker. He's a rookie, and he went across the field to make a tackle. And I think a couple guys were on him, and what he did was the good old punch at the football type thing and force a fumble. So the guy not only he not only forced the fumble, he picked it up and ran it in for the touchdown. So it was like 14 minutes and I think 14 minutes and like 47 seconds remaining in the game. Since it was a touchdown, game over. So, yeah, exactly. Now the Bucks did hire former Bears head coach Lovie Smith with a 4-year contract. So they're sitting at 1-6 right now. Should there be any thought of firing Lovie Smith sometime this year?
I'll let you go with that, Chris.
I'd say no. I said at the beginning of the year they need to give him at least 2 years. He was given a quarterback. He ran in
McCown.
It was McCown. Some reason I want to say Rich Cannon. I'm like, what the heck? Well, I'm thinking
that might have been a better choice. Who knows?
But his quarterback situation is right there. He had a decent draft. They have a lot of young players. Like, I think one of the youngest teams in the NFL right now. So I'd say they need to give him at least one more year to see what he does. I projected them to go 3-13 this year anyway. I didn't think they were going to do much this year with their offensive line. Their offensive line is a revolving door. I mean, they've been trying to bring players in. It's starting different combinations because their offensive line is horrible. They can't even get a running game going with Doug Martin. I don't know if it's because of Doug Martin's injury last year, offensive line, combination of the both. So it could be either or. I'd say they need to give him at least one more year so he can get his personnel trying to come in. 1 year, you can't do anything with a head coach. You got to give him at least 2 years and see improvement. You see improvement next year. If they go into the, into the bye and they're just under 500, you keep them. You try to go with that. You want to see year after year growth. Look at the Browns, how bad they've been going for a while because they're revolving door with the quarterback, with the coach. I mean, the Jags also revolving door with the coach. If they can get a coach in to stick with them for at least 2 years and see what they can do, then I think you can turn it around within year two, year three.
You know, Chris, everything you said there is stuff I would have said at least in similar fashion. I don't know if I would have brought up the Browns comparison necessarily, but it's a good one. And you have a whole lot of sound logic in place there. I'm going to take nothing away from that. However, despite your lucid, intelligent, well-thought-out objection, I'm going to have to overrule you. This guy came to Tampa promising anyone who's a Bucs fan two things. First, I'm Lovie Smith. I'm a defensive expert. I'm going to bring you expert. I'm going to bring you defense. I'm going to bring you expertise in defense. That's how confident he was. This dude already has two blowouts on his schedule during the year, okay? One of them was 5 touchdowns to Joe effing Flacco. Yeah, that guy. Okay, and I'm still listening to crap from Montel Hardy about the fact that he threw 5 touchdowns against the Powder Puff defense. Like, I care about that. Okay? Then there's the part where Lovie Smith force-fed Bucs fans, and I'm bringing in my quarterback. Sure, Mike Glennon looked great, but I'm bringing in my guy. This is the guy I know, and he's going to lead us to the promised land. Not only has he failed on both, he has dragged the team down on the strength of both decisions. Here's what we know. The one win that they have was an impressive one, beating Pittsburgh at home. And who was at the helm? It damn sure wasn't Josh McCown. Josh McCown pulled a poor man's Matt Flynn and in turn the wool over the eyes of the Tampa public starting in that game, or rather, not starting that game, but starting for this team opening the season. And really, he should be taken to jail for larceny for stealing $5 million per year on his 2-year contract with the Buccaneers. It's not so much that he's losing. Sometimes that happens. But I can definitely draw a line to decisions that Lovie Smith has made in just this offseason that made worse the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He needs to be gone and fast, especially when there's talk of all these other awesome coaches that are going to hit the market. there's talk that Jim Harbaugh will. I'm not necessarily buying it, but I have sources that seem to think that it'll happen. Sexy Ryan, we're pretty sure he's going to be fired. Heck, Mike Smith in Atlanta, there's talk of him getting fired. Now, granted, I don't think they'll hire a guy in the same division as such, but it's just another example of a coaching core, try saying that five times fast, a coaching core that exists that will be an improvement over Lovely Smith, who just appears suddenly to be out of touch. I don't know what happened. I don't know what it is. If he wants to be a defensive coordinator somewhere, that's even in jeopardy with the way the Bucs have looked of late. So, yeah, get him out of there. That's my call. And I don't know if your wife will agree with that, but she's still awesome for typing you seconds, Weevil.
Word.
I'm going to use every excuse I can to give her props for that. I'm just saying. All right, Chris. Well, speaking of giving teams props, you don't have a whole lot of props to give any of your teams this week. One's on a bye, and one should have been. Bills versus Jets.
Originally, I had this as since the Giants were off, Geno Smith was going to do his Eli Manning impression as he threw three first-quarter interceptions when he went 2 of 8 passing as the Buffalo Bills forced a total of 6 turnovers on the day in a 43-23 win over AFC East rivals the Jets. And there's one special quarterback that was in New York that really likes this, and that's one Mark Sanchez. Because that is one thing he has never done is throw 3 interceptions in a first quarter.
Just a 5!
When you have more interceptions than completions, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Pop quiz. Retirement?
No, he probably gets papers intercepted when he's trying to hand them in.
Oh!
Wow. So when they benched Geno Smith, they brought in Michael Vick, and he had 3 turnovers as well, as he had 1 interception and 2 lost fumbles with no touchdowns. He did have 8 carries for 69 yards, which led the Jets on the ground.
Oh, right.
Kyle Orton was 10 for 17 for 238 and 4 touchdowns. So this game could have been a lot worse, but I mean, if you look at this, the Jets had 22 first downs to the Bills 12.
Wow.
The Jets were 9 for 19 for third downs, and the Bills were 3 for 12.
See, and that's the telling stat for me. And I'm going to go ahead and say that maybe I'm going to get there before you do, and if I did, my bad, Chris. But only 43 points? Dude.
Yes. I'm getting there. Let me go over a play. 81 for the Jets, 53 for the Bills.
But one could argue that's due to short field.
Right, it is. And, right now, Bills were 4 for 6, Jets were 3 for 3. And, you know, like it's just that column. It looks like the Jets should have won the game if you just look at the column. But if you look for the Bills' scoring drives, from turnovers, they had a total of 19 yards of offense and scored 23 points. They had a 1-play, 1-yard touchdown. 4 plays, negative 4 yards, a 53-yard field goal.
Come on!
4 plays, 9 yards, 36-yard field goal. 4 plays, negative 1 yard, 29-yard field goal. 3 plays, 14 yards, a 12-yard touchdown pass.
So 3 and outs that are essentially only scores because Vick and Smith.
Exactly. So newly acquired Percy Harvin had 50 total yards of offense, 28 rushing, 23 receiving. He had 144 yards receiving on 6 kickoffs. One of the kickoff returns, they tried to do a trick play, replay. I don't know if you guys saw this or not.
He lied down in the end
zone. Klein Gates lied down in the end zone. Percy Harvin received the ball in the end zone, and he's supposed to throw it over to Klein Gates. I don't know if he got it. Maybe he saw a blink or something. Maybe he was going to him. I don't know.
I'll screw this game.
But Percy Harvin got tackled on the 2-yard line.
I mean, can you at least wait 2 weeks? Okay, no one's going to get fooled by that right now, okay? The Rams just did it. Everybody's coaching it up. Wait 1 more week. Just 1 more week.
Yeah, so for the rookie wide receiver, Sammy Watkins for the Bills, he had 3 catches, 157 yards with 1 touchdown. Should have had 2 touchdowns as he recalled in an 84-yard reception, started celebrating on his way to the end zone, and he got tackled at the 5-yard line.
Come on, man.
Then they also had a 61-yard touchdown, which a lot of Clemson fans remember that, as he ran a slant, broke two tackles, and took off the rest of the way untouched. Scott Chandler had a touchdown. Robert Woods had a touchdown for the Bills as well. That's about it on that game.
So, yeah, I'm in that place where I'm more disappointed by the Bills' performance than I am encouraged by anything. I mean, you know, look, it's not like they got the game handed to them on a silver platter. There was a sale on silver platters at Sam's, and the Jets doubled up on it and had that much game to hand out. And the Bills just, man, I'll tell you what, all those garbage I'm hearing about, oh, the AFC East is up for grabs, jack it. Just jack it. How do I say that? Well, let's go to the next game and examine. What about the Miami Dolphins? How they look against the Jags, Chris?
Move over Matt Schaub as there's a new pick-six quarterback as rookie Blake Bortles.
No!
Didn't just throw one pick-six. He threw two pick-sixes and also lost the fumble in the red zone. The game to Dolphins a 27-13 win.
Okay, wait a minute. Under things I thought I would never hear happen in 2014 is Chris comparing to UCF's own Blake Bortles to Matt Schaub. You just did that just to make people laugh. I'm okay with that.
Pick six, man. There's two in a game. Matt Schaub could tell you he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He did six in a row. Six games in a row, but he didn't do two in a game.
That's true. He did not.
So, you know, even if, you know, 14 points for those pick sixes, you take those off the board.
Yeah.
And then Blake Bortles fumbling on the 10-yard line. It was a safe field goal. It's a 17-point swing. The Jags would have won this game 16-13. But Blake Bortles finished 18 for 34, 221 yards with only a touchdown. He did also have 48 yards rushing. So did Ryan Tannehill, had 48 yards rushing and 16-29 passing, 196 yards with a touchdown and an interception. The Jags dominated the first half of this game. It only gave up two long scoring drives, a 95-yarder and a 68-yards in the whole game. The 95-yarder, what would happen if they called a offensive penalty? They were holding on the offense and then they holding on the defense or whatever. They offset. It was on a third and long. Very next play, Mike Wallace pitches a 50-yard touchdown pass on like a third and 12. 50-yarder, great catch, you know, right on the sideline, gets, you know, a knee down. He had two catches for 53 yards. But the Pins offense in the first half only had 56 yards.
Wow. Well, and how many touchdowns did the Dolphins offense have in this game? I'm counting.
Just one.
Only one. So in 4 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense has only allowed three touchdowns. And they're still losing football games. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's the offense. So, I mean, at least the Jags have a running back now with Bernard Robinson.
No, you got to put that right. At least one former college quarterback's performing, and that's Bernard Robinson as a
right.
running back.
Yeah, he had 18 carries for 108 yards, which was 6 yards on average. And then rookie receiver Allen Robinson had 5 catches for 82 yards with a touchdown. The touchdown was a 48-yarder late in the fourth quarter. But did the Jags make the right call starting Bortles early?
I'm still maintaining no, and I said it long before I saw this game. Chad Henne needed to stay in, and Bortles, it was just too soon to put in Bortles for his development. Now he's got a game like this. This has potential to kill his confidence, and maybe possibly, it might sound melodramatic, but it could be the first domino in a career problem. I don't know. I don't know if that's where you live, Weasel, but that's where I'm coming from.
Well, when Blake was with UCF and stuff, I mean, the guy had a good number of, fourth-quarter comebacks, and he would make the big throw. And, yes, it's the NFL, and, yes, it's, the game is faster, but it's early on. I mean, you got, you got Peyton Manning. What did he have, 23 interceptions his first year?
That's true. Oh, yeah. No, he had trouble his rookie year. That's a good point.
Blake Bortles right now has a 64% completion, 6 touchdowns, 12 INTs. He leads the NFL in INTs, and he didn't play the first 2 weeks.
Well, the guy's a rookie, and, I mean, he's got everything. You know, he's like the prototypical quarterback. But, I mean, I think he'll be okay. It's like crap like that, you got to brush it off.
Yeah, I think he'll still be fine, but the potential is there, like I said, that it could be. I don't know. I still don't see what the Jags really gained starting him now. And as I said it however many weeks ago. So I'm just saying. Anyway, with 10 minutes left, we got 4 more games in the study hall. Gentlemen, Steelers, Colts, Weasel.
Well, with the Colts on the road against the Steelers, both teams totaled scoring 85 points. So the Steelers defeated the Colts 51-34.
Who needs defense?
What's that?
Who needs defense?
Exactly. So you got Big Ben Roethlisberger. I bet he was on a lot of people's bench in fantasy football. 522 yards. 81.6. Let's see. Oh, that's 81.6%, which is pretty impressive. You had a 6-touchdown game, no turnovers. And the 522 yards was shared between Big Ben and Boomer Esiason back in the day for the Bengals, and as the 4th most yards thrown in NFL history.
That's a lot.
So Big Ben may be the easy answer, but it seems like the offense is back for the Steelers. So do you give who would you give credit to for their turnaround?
I give credit to a balanced attack, frankly. I mean, look, let's call it what it is. We've said that the Colts have looked better on defense overall, but we said at the beginning of the year, they're a mediocre defense. And Todd Haley, their coordinator, finally found a way to exploit said mediocrity. I mean, yeah, it's really that simple. I mean, look, let's give Andrew Luck his credit. Until he was forced into the end zone by his own line for an intentional grounding call, it looked for a minute. The comeback commander was going to get number 12 there for a second. I mean, he too had 400 yards himself. But, I mean, that's just a good game overall for the Steelers' offense, not just Ben. And I think you're going to talk about somebody who had a lot to do with that here moving along, right, Weasel?
Getting there. But, I'll just say you did, 400 yards were thrown. 3 touchdowns for Luck, but he also had 2 interceptions, one of which was in the early second quarter. Steelers cornerback William Gay, 33-yard interception return for a touchdown. So that's one less than Blake Bortles. So in the fourth quarter, the Steelers were rewarded
with
a safety.
That's 2 less than Geno Smith.
That's 2 less than Geno Smith, he said.
So the Steelers, they were 5 of 6 in the red zone. Colts were 1 of 3. So here's the, I guess it could be your sleeper kind of pick. There was 2 touchdowns in this game and a total for 3 touchdowns for the season for Steelers rookie Martavius Bryant. The guy's 6'4", and I think he's about, 211 pounds. So there's a chance for him. What do y'all think of him taking over as the number 2 wide receiver spot in front of Marcus Wheaton?
I'm pretty sure they drafted him to do that. And all they needed was some time for him to show some colors, which apparently he did in droves on Sunday. But I would be shocked. I mean, I was texting with our writer for our weekly pick session for the NCAA and the NFL on NGSCSports.com. Mr. Mike Drakulich also does a lot of writing for his Pittsburgh blogs, covers the Pirates and the Penguins as well. But he was, when I was texting with him, he was just excited about Martavius Bryant, what he brought. I would be hard-pressed to think that Omar Epps wasn't just as excited. Oh, I'm sorry, my comment. Wasn't just as excited. That joke never gets old, by the way.
Yeah, man. It was a pretty good game. And let's see, having 6 touchdowns, I mean, 522 yards, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, with that, you know, speaking of other elements of crazy offense and, you know, just leaving defense at the door, Packers, Saints, Weasel.
In what expected to be a high-scoring game, the Saints at home beat the Packers 44-23. So in this quarterback battle, you got Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, threw for 418 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs, did have a rushing touchdown. So there's some talk about him possibly being injured in the game.
No, not possibly. He was hurt. He went to run in and bring the Packers inside the red zone, and you can tell him that he pulled up right after he stepped out of bounds and said, you know, the F word a couple of times because of the pain he felt, and he just wasn't the same again. He wasn't able to plant the same necessarily with his foot. And we both – look, everyone's heard me say it on this show. Aaron Rodgers is the only guy I know that can survive with a bad offensive line at the quarterback position. And the main reason he does it is his legs. And now one of them's limited. That's a problem.
Okay, well, Breeze, on the other hand, had 311 yards and 3 touchdowns. So there's a player to note. I guess a player just – he has his ups and downs. And Saints running back Mark Ingram – he had 24 carries for 172 yards and a touchdown. So,
yeah.
Best overall offense, Packers Saints. What do you got?
Well, when Rodgers isn't pulling up his hammy, I would take, based on the game he had on Sunday night, I would take Eddie Lacy over Ingram. And overall, other than Colston and Jimmy Graham, what weapons did the Saints really have? Go ahead, I'll wait. Yeah, exactly. Of course, you could argue the same thing over Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb. This is what makes this a compelling question. Today, I'd probably say the Packers, but, I mean, that's a toss-up. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Eddie Lacy and Mark Ingram. Both of them are from Alabama. Both running backs right after each other in Alabama. So they're bred basically the same. They're basically the same type of running back there coming out. Eddie Lacy is a little bigger, but otherwise, I'd say more balanced. I'd say would be the Packers right now. I mean, yeah, the Saints had one good game coming back, but Packers have been consistent in the last few weeks.
Oh, and if you need a tiebreaker, who's going to get more yards with their legs from the quarterback spot uninjured? That would obviously be Rodgers.
Right.
So, anyways, with that, probably, in my opinion, the most interesting game, well, maybe the one after, but the most interesting game to me, Eagles Cards. Chris.
Carson Palmer led his team from behind late in the fourth as he connected with John Brown for a 75-yard touchdown to put the Cards up 24-20 with a minute 21 on the clock. Nick Foles tried to rally back, converted a 4th-and-3, as he scrambled for a first down, but he just came up short on 2 at the end of the game as he could not connect in the end zone with tight end Zach Ertz or in Jordan Matthews. Catch was out of bounds on the last play, and the Cards held on to win to improve 6-1 on the year, 24-20. Eagles are now 5-2, and this loss could keep the Eagles out of the playoffs if it comes down to it.
Oh, man, you missed Ertz. That crap really hurts. Boom.
Nick Foles was 36 for 62, 411 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. One of the INTs was in the end zone by Antonio Camardi, first interception of the year. Carson Palmer, 20 for 42 for 329 yards and 2 touchdowns, no INTs. Neither quarterback was sacked in the game, which I thought was surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising, especially because, well, I mean, more for the Cards than for the Eagles, but, yeah, that's interesting.
Jeremy Maclin had 12 catches for 187 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a long of a 54-yard touchdown.
Which is an amazing catch. I know you're going to have something to say, and you're right. I don't care. It was an amazing play. Continue.
Yeah, it was an amazing play on a third cornerback as Patrick Peterson left the game with a concussion, which that would have been him covering him on there. Larry Fitzgerald had 7 catches for 150 yards with a touchdown. He had a long 80 yards, and people were saying he lost a step as he pulled away from the secondary.
So apparently you found that mess. I'm just...
John Brown, after that 75-yard touchdown, he had 5 catches for 119 yards. But really, the Eagles left a lot out on the field as they were 0-for-3 in the red zone.
Cardinals defense, man.
Yeah, Cardinals were 1-for-2, but turnovers 3 to the Eagles, 1 to the Cardinals. But, I mean, Eagles 521 yards to the Cardinals 400.
Well, you want to know how that happened. How about 108 total plays on offense by the Eagles? This is why Chip Kelly's offense might be great, but defense still wins championships.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of penalties. As there was 21 penalties for 198 yards in the game.
That's a lot.
So adding those yards as well, as the Eagles had 11 for 103 to the Cardinals 10 for 95.
Damn. Okay.
And Cardinal fans, if you need a heart doctor, you can call all the UCF fans over here, see who they have as that tight game. We've heard many of those in the last 2 years.
Anyways, Weasel, quickly, we have 5 minutes in the show. Ravens, Bengals, and yeah.
Okay, so in this divisional matchup, you got the Bengals defeating the Ravens 27-24. So the largest lead in that game was about when the Bengals were up 17-6 in the third quarter. You got Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco, 195 yards, two INTs. We got,
oh, no, Joe Flacco!
And we got Andy Dalton, 266 yards and one INT, and that was without his beloved wide receiver, A.J. Green. Now, this is something that's a little bit controversial. Now, with a minute remaining in the game, Dalton did run in a one-yard touchdown to put the Bengals up 27-24.
He didn't just run in a one-yard touchdown. This was a quarterback sneak from almost 2 yards out.
And it was the second rushing touchdown of the day.
Correct.
Yep, so the Ravens
said no one about Joe Flacco ever.
So, yeah, well, with 57 seconds left, they had no timeouts. So at the 47-second mark, you got Ravens had a touchdown taken away from them when Ravens wide receiver Steve Smith, a former Panther, had an 80-yard touchdown call back due to offensive pass interference. I checked this out a couple times. You know, you got to, you know, watch certain things. But he did push him off a little bit. But the thing is I want y'all's opinion. I think he flopped. He fell back to the ground. I think he did get pushed off, but he fell to the ground. I think he flopped. NBA, they'll fine you for that. But what do y'all think?
Maybe. I don't think it's completely far-fetched. In that kind of a bang-bang quick moment, will somebody have the capacity to think of flopping in that instance? I don't know. That's really the only thing that keeps me from outright saying yes. But by the same token, a little extra contact is something that Steve Smith is famous for. So, you know, OJ said it was famous too. But they did a good job if that's the case. I'm just saying, you know. And in the case of Steve Smith, is he didn't get off in his trial. He was found guilty. So, yeah, I agree with the call in terms of matching the rules. It was a good call. Do you want that kind of call that late? I don't know. I really feel like that Steve Smith's enough of an athlete to go get that ball without the extracurricular. So I don't know. That's a good question, Weasel. Did he flop? Maybe. But I still feel like it's the correct call.
It's
a tough situation.
The thing is, it's definitely the correct call. But when you watch it, it's like, because he was, I think, two other Bengals were around Steve Smith at the time. So when he pushed off one of the guys, he fell to the ground. And a lot of times when refs look at somebody and they fall or something like that, they'll throw the flag. And
well, let me ask you this question, Weasel. If he didn't flop, would they have called it?
That I can't be honest. I think that maybe because he did nudge him, but I would think
his arms
that
were fully extended out. They would have still called it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, Chris. That's a good point.
Yeah,
well,
so
anyways.
That's that.
Well, also, before we jump into overtime here shortly, you can always, always check us out here on the website, ngssports.com, all the way around the good time. If you're not checking it out, you're doing it wrong. It's that simple. And you'll definitely be seeing features of some of these matchups we're about to talk about here on the study hall. Not on the study hall, rather, but on the matchup mania. We're about ready to do the study hall and do the picks. Chris, get into it.
All right. Yeah, I just want to say, Kyle, I'm creeping away.
Really? Was it that bad?
No, it's actually, I was 10-4, you were 9-5.
Damn
Weasel,
it!
Weasel was 7-7. So you pulled away from Weasel.
Stupid Ram.
So I'm 77-41 right now on the season. You're 71-47, and Weasel 69-49.
I'm creeping.
All right.
I'm just here. All right. So you may be ahead, but Weasel's winning.
I got a 6-game lead on you and a 8-game lead on Weasel. So.
All right. Well,
Thursday night, you have the Saints at the Panthers. You know, the Panthers, they might be getting D'Angelo Williams back, but I'm going to go with the Saints on this one. I don't know why. I'm just going to pick the Saints.
This is a game of two crap teams in a crap division deciding their playoff fate. I'm saying that just to really delay, because I don't know who the heck you're picking this freaking game either. The Panthers' defenses and all that, the Saints have proven to balance offense. Today, I'd have to pick the Saints, but goodness, I could change my mind between then and now. Weasel.
I think the offense for Carolina is not really clicking, so I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right, Chris.
All right, then we got the Bucks at the Browns. I'm going Browns.
Yeah, Browns.
Yeah, Browns.
Fire Lovey.
interesting game. Cardinals at the Cowboys. This might be the hardest game. There's three good games probably this week. The way the Cardinals have been playing lately, they're getting Larry Fitzgerald involved in the offense. They've been winning the games. Defense is pretty good. I think they're going to bring out the true colors of Dallas. Now I'm not going to start rooting against Dallas. I'm going to go Cardinals on this one.
You know, this is a tough one. I mean, it's certainly, in my opinion, this is the best game of the week. It won't get the most hype because of another game we'll touch on later, certainly. But this one definitely made the matchup mania. Check it out on NGSCSports.com. It'll be up on Wednesday night. I had five games listed here we're talking about, and I had to talk about the Saints and the Panthers because it's probably going to decide the division. But I'll tell you what. They both need this game pretty bad to maintain in their division. Today, I was brave enough to pick him against the Eagles. I don't think they got enough with the Cowboys. I'll be surprised. Weasel.
So it's the Arizona versus Dallas?
Yep.
Okay, I will get the Cardinals. It's their points allowed for the team is, I think, one of the it's in the upper echelon for the team. So I think their defense will do good, and I got the Cards.
I can't blame you, bro, especially after you made the mistake of picking the Eagles last week.
Yeah.
Chris.
Next, you got the Eagles at the Texans. The Texans look decent against the Titans, but it's the Texans. We still don't know quarterback Fitzgerald. I'm going to go Eagles.
You know, if Eagles are going to give up anything to a running game and you have the Aryan Nation at your disposal, look out. Not to mention, DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson did have decent games against even with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback spot. Nonetheless, I'm not that brave. I got the Eagles bouncing back. Weasel!
I got the Eagles, too.
Next, you got the Jets at the Chiefs.
The Jets at the Chiefs. Really? Let's try that again, Chris.
Jets at the Chiefs.
Very good. Okay.
I'm going Chiefs.
Are we really even talking about this? Next freaking game. No, Weasel. No. You're picking the Chiefs whether you like it or not. I'm not taking a freebie like that.
I'm going to pick the team that doesn't have a 7-game losing streak.
Good call, Weasel. Moving on.
Oh, yeah, they had Vic and Geno Smith on the sidelines. They're like, it's the Jets record, 1-7.
Boom. I like what you did there.
You got the Jags at the Bengals. Bengals. You put Holland to the Bengals on that one. Anyone disagree?
Wait, it's Bengals and who?
Jags at the Bengals.
Because I thought you said Jets again.
And no,
I was
Jags.
Like, wait, what?
Jags.
Are they at that? No. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals, with or without AJ Green.
The Jets can't even shut up one game. You want them to try to shut up a two?
Weasel.
I got the Bengals, too.
All right.
You get the Chargers at the Fins. Andy doesn't travel very well, but it is the Fins. You don't know what teams are going to come out there, so I'm going to go with Chargers.
You're right. San Diego doesn't travel very well, but the Fins don't stay at home very well either. I have the Chargers. Weasel.
Yeah, due to their offense, I got the Chargers.
Can't front on that. Chris?
You got Skins at the Vikings. You don't know if it's going to be Colt McCoy or RG3 next week because the game's going on tonight. You don't know where RG3 is, so I'm just thinking RG3 might not be there. The schemes aren't all that great anyway, so I'm going
to
go Vikings.
Well, they started Colt McCoy tonight, or they're going to start. Actually, no, they started Colt McCoy tonight as the game's 4 minutes in at this point. But I will say this. You don't know who's going to start for the Redskins? I don't care, because when it comes to the Teddy, that'll be water under the bridge. Damn it, it doesn't work. The name's backward. But the point is, Teddy Bridgewater will lead the Vikings to the victory over the Redskins. Let's see if Weasel is a homer. Weasel.
Yeah, it's definitely a homer on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get Bridgewater with the Vikings.
Boom.
And you get the Rams at the Niners. The Rams are a mess. You know, Jake Long's out. And you know, the Niners do have injuries, but I'm going to go Niners.
You know, I don't care about injuries, okay? It's the fact that Jake Long is gone. Well, that is an injury. But when it comes to the Niners, they're getting Alden Smith back, and you just love Jake Long. Peace, son. I have the 49ers. Weasel.
Early on, the Rams were looking pretty good. Not so much lately, so I got the 49ers.
Not so much.
They also lost another receiver, Brian Quick. Also, there.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
I mentioned earlier. You got the Broncos at the Patriots. This could be an AFC championship game here again.
Could be.
The way the Broncos are playing, their defense and everything, I'm going Broncos.
You know, the fact that Gronk is arriving right about now, just early enough to where people may make the mistake of not taking him seriously, could be an issue. But because Peyton Manning, I have the Broncos. Weasel.
Contrarian.
Uh-oh. He's pretty boy. He likes pretty. He likes Justin Bieber. He's picking Brady in the Patriots.
Hey,
because Bieber jokes.
The offense for the Patriots is looking like it's coming back. So, and Gronk.
Hey, Weasel.
Yeah.
Do you have a fever? You're not gonna say it, are you?
Yeah.
Good, me neither. Moving on.
You got the Raiders at the Seahawks. The Seahawks play against some of these other teams, they might sneak up on them, but I'm still going to pick the Seahawks. And if that's a loss, you know what? It's on the Seahawks. So I don't think it could happen, but it could happen against the Seahawks. You never know, but they are at home, so I don't think it's going to happen. I got the Seahawks still.
On the straight, you gave us all that, but you could have wrapped it up and just made it a Dumber Dumber reference thing. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
No, there's not. Seahawks, Weasel.
Yeah, I got the Seahawks.
The Rams have beat the Seahawks twice at home in the last season, so it is a chance. You got the Ravens at the Steelers. This one I'd like to see Steve against the Ravens defense. Like I said, they're always in preseason. I said there could be a fight in this game. There's always almost a fight in this game between the Ravens and the Steelers. The Chiefs sniff there. I think there might be a fight in this game. It'd be a good one to watch. I'm going to go Ravens. Just because, the Steelers had a good game the other night, but, you know, this rivalry, they're playing Steelers, I had them playing, winning away, both teams, Robin.
This game's a coin flip every time, and I picked this way mostly because of Joe Flacco. And how do you go away from Ben Roethlisberger throwing 6 touchdowns? And I mean, I don't care who I pick to win this game. I'm always going to watch this game because this is the kind of stuff where freaking Ben Roethlisberger's nose was bent into the shape of a Z one time and he still won the football game. I have Ben Roethlisberger. Weasel.
I am going to go with the Steelers. It's Big Ben coming off a hot game. So we'll see how he does this year. And the Ravens do have a pretty good defense, points against. They're actually doing all right. So, but Pittsburgh, that's the pick.
There you go.
In the Monday night, you have the Colts at the Giants. This isn't even going to be close. Andrew Luck's probably going to have 9 touchdowns in this game. I got the Colts.
You know, if Rashad Jennings was going to be present for this game, I might have given the Giants the shot. It'll be closer than you think, Chris, but I still got the Colts. Weasel.
Huh? Let's see. Looking up Eli Manning's. 5 interceptions. Okay, that's not too bad. I'll take Eli with the Giants.
Really?
Yeah.
Creeping up away from Weasel. Anyway, that'll do it for our show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So until next time, everybody, class dismissed. Oh, ring, ring, because Bright House.